Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Quick Dev here in New York City, where we are experiencing some Seattle-like weather. It's cold, it's rainy, it's kind of depressing, but the show must go on. So we're here for part five. We did the first four videos talking about Xamarin, doing cross-platform mobile application development. And here in part five, I'm very excited to announce to have a guest on the show, the first guest of the series. So we've got Brian Sherwin here from Columbus, Ohio. Brian, you want to go ahead and do a quick intro?
Yeah, so it's cold and rainy here as well in Columbus. But so I'm a technical evangelist out of Columbus, Ohio. Means I get to work with students and startups and developer groups, show them how to build cool stuff on Microsoft technologies. So I tend to do a lot of demos. And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today.
Okay, yeah, and I think kind of countrywide there's rainy and cold is pretty much the standard right now. But you kind of touched on it, and I'll ask you to go into a little more detail. So when we first talked about this video, you mentioned kind of tools and tricks and tips. Again, the series here is focused on saving the developer time. So tools and tricks and tips and how to do your demos, how to make them, you know, consistent, replicable, easy to be replicated, replicable, I guess that's a word, those kinds of things. So if you want to tell us just kind of a few of those pieces, what we'll go through, and then we'll jump in.
Sure. So, you know, I've been doing coding for about 20 years, and I'm always looking for those shortcuts. tend to do a lot of demos. So one of the things I don't like about demos is when I'm sitting in and the person doing the demo is scrolling up and down through the code. And so I tried to find ways that allow me to do that without having the scrolling. I can do the demo without doing the scrolling. Some of the things that I'm going to show you actually were born out of things that I did as a developer. And, you know, we can even show you some of the things that we've done as far as, you know, helping out, you know, speed the developer along the way as well. But ultimately, I've taken those steps that helped me as a developer to get things done quickly and brought them into how to get demos done quickly and make sure that they're correct. And I haven't done something like, oh, hey, I forgot a semicolon or something crazy like that. So
yeah, which is so easy to happen when you're on a live demo. There's so many things that can go wrong. The more you can do to prepare yourself and make it go as easy as possible, obviously the better.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's. If you're ready, we'll go ahead and jump in here.
Okay, let's go into the demo. All right, so here we are in Visual Studio, and I've already started up a project just doing a WPF application because I have a Connect application that I do this demo for. Okay. And so typically the first thing that I do is that there's a really cool plugin. So this is all about tools for demos, right? So there's a really cool plugin for Visual Studio that allows me to say here, present on. And when I do present on, it takes all of the fonts in Visual Studio from the menus all the way to the code and actually enlarges them.
Wow.
And, so that makes it really good for the guy that's sitting in the back that can't see.
And this is always a problem for presentations where you start and, you know, you can see it and you think everything's fine until someone raises their hand and says, hey, you know, I can't see it. So that's really, really handy and I haven't seen before. Perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, you can always, you know, change your font with your scroll wheel. But when you're doing demos, people can't always see what's going on here in your menus. Or if, you know, if you have your Solution Explorer, that font is still super tiny.
Yeah.
It becomes difficult. Well, so then when you're done, right, resetting everything back is just as easy as saying, you know, present off, and I go back to those small menus. The cool thing is there's also a present edit, that if I click on that present edit, it brings up a configuration file that says what's the font that I want to use and what's the font size. So if 16 is actually really too big, I can go back and set that to 14, and maybe I want my text editor to actually only be 14 as well.
Okay.
So I can go ahead and save that and go back to the present on. And my fonts then are appropriate for the demo that I'm doing. So super easy to change that font all the way across. And that's just a plugin called Visual Studio Power Tools. I want to say toys because it used to be toys. But it's Visual Studio Power Tools. And you can install that by just coming out here to the Visual Studio extensions under Tools extensions.
Okay, and these are, I mean, these are basically toys for developers, so it wouldn't be too far off for them to phrase it as toys anyway.
Yeah, so they're just out here. There's a Visual Studio, here they are, Visual Studio, no, it's the Tools for Unity. Anyway, if you just come out, if you go into the extensions and updates and you look for Visual Studio Tools, you'll see this come up as a tool that you can use. So that's always the first place I start. The second part that I use is a tool called AutoHotkey. And if you can go out, you know, if you go out with a browser and just go to AutoHotkey.com, this is a tool. Should have had this up before.
And I was, you know, you sent this just as an email, and in the email as an FYI of kind of some of the things that you would talk about. And I read kind of the description on AutoHotkey where you can do some automated things, and I'm sure you'll talk about some of the specifics. And it has a section there for beginners and more immediate. And I think you're going to show more of the intermediate stuff where you can do your own scripts to actually do some powerful stuff that's very custom to scenarios that you need yourself.
Yeah. So this one's a really cool scripting language. It allows you to build pretty much anything, and the sky's the limit. I'll show you some of the cool things that I've got with AutoHotkey, but to try to limit what we're doing here to the coders and the demos, but I'll show you some cool stuff, some fun stuff at the end. So AutoHotkey, you can go down. It's open source. It's free. Really cool tool. So here I am back in my Visual Studio, and so I'm doing this demo, and you know, there's the guy that gets up and he says, all right, well, I want to do this initialize component. And, you know, he does his thing and he moves on. And, you know, he always forgets to do the semicolon. And, you know, there's the guy that when he's up in front of code, typing in front of people, he gets super nervous.
Yep.
Well, it's really hard to talk about code and write code at the same time. And so this is where I use AutoHotkey, where I know what I want to accomplish. And so, you know, in my slide deck, I've kind of set up what I'm going to do for my demo. And so typically, when I get into the code, the first thing I do is get all the stuff up. Well, I'm not typing all this. This is AutoHotkey typing it for me. But I'm not making any mistakes. And so AutoHotkey's not making any mistakes, but it allows me to talk while the code is being typed in. And so I say, okay, well, the first thing I need to do is to get a sensor. Well, I know to get a sensor, I'm going to need a sensor variable. And so I come up there and let it type what it needs to. And, you know, I guess I forgot to add references here. So I there are a couple things that I still have to do manually,
right?
To make things work.
Well, this is fabulous because, I mean, like you said, once you're up in a demo scenario, it's easy to get nervous just in general talking in front of people. But when you're actually writing code, you know, you start typing and you know what you're trying to do and you miss a semicolon and you go back and you wait for the audience to help you out or you finally catch it. But this is great just to kind of avoid errors, but also just to the way you have the commented sections, just to give you an idea, you know, remind you what all the different steps are. Because I've definitely gone through and had a good idea of what I'm doing, but missed steps along the way.
Yeah, well, so this is the code that I usually then will give, I'll check it into source control, I'll check it out to GitHub so that people can actually go and use it. And I like to have the comments in there while I'm going, but then it also helps people understand where I'm going next.
Right. It's like you're keeping up a PowerPoint, right? You know, in your PowerPoint, you typically kind of outline the steps, and this you have it kind of up here, and it flows with your code.
Right, and it also kind of serves as a reminder to me what my keywords are. So in AutoHotkey,
right.
And I'll show you the script here in a minute, but I know the next thing is to get a sensor, right? So I just type get sensor, and it takes care of using the sensor variable and typing the stuff out to get the things that I
need.
Wow. And then I always tell people, okay, well, if we open the sensor, what do we need to make sure we do? We need to make sure we close the sensor, right? So what we're going to do is on the window closing, we're actually going to, and Visual Studio is going to scroll some stuff here. And so I go ahead and do this. So all that code is done for me, and I don't have to actually sit there and type stuff. And I'm not going, you know, up here, down here. And I'm, you know, that really kind of, when I'm seeing demos that do that, that kind of makes me sick to my stomach. Not because it's a bad, like, it makes me sick because I don't like the presentation style. It just, the thing is flashing in front of my face. It just kind of gives me a little bit of vertigo.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the keys here is that, you know, even though you're in, this is a WPF application, even though you're in WPF, in Visual Studio, AutoHotkey could do this kind of thing, and you could customize it, and you'll show the scripts in a second, anywhere and everywhere, right? Any of the different development processes or different applications, whatever it is, you can apply the same idea.
Yeah, so, and this is, it's great that you point that out, because, you know, I'm not tied to, if I do snippets, you know, somebody would ask, why not just use snippets in Visual Studio? Well, the cool thing is, I could come over to, you know, Visual Studio Code, and I could do something very similar here, and I could just say, you know, put in some code that I know happens to exist out there, and it will actually go ahead and type the code here in Visual Studio Code. You know, I could even bring up Notepad and put in
here, which Notepad doesn't have snippets built in, right?
Right. I mean, it's as basic text as you can possibly get.
And so some of the different ones may or may not have snippets. Even if they do have snippets, they could be different. Kind of, you have to learn how to do them a little bit differently. But this is kind of one consistent way where you set it up yourself. You can use it any editor you want.
Yeah. So just to kind of backtrack a little bit, this was the code that I was just using there with the Visual Studio, right? So basically, this is a line of script for AutoHotkey that says, I'm going to do a string replace, and whenever you see somebody type main notes, we're just going to completely replace that with all the text. And so here's the script of text that it does the replace for. And so I just have replacement text for all kinds of different things along the line throughout my application. So I build up each individual demo as its own AutoHotkey file. And when I'm ready to do a demo, I can say, all right, I want to do an enterprise dev camp. I just drag that AutoHotkey up onto the executable, and I'm ready to go with my string replacements. I can start working.
Okay. And this could apply to any of you devs out there, whether or not you actually do presentations, which this is obviously kind of what it's targeted at, but you could do this for any kind of repetitive thing that you code over and over again in a more customizable way, maybe, than snippets.
Right. So I've got this one, and I'll put this out on the GitHub repository. We'll post at the end. But if I take this new hot string and I say, all right, I'm going to come up and stick that on the auto hotkey. And so here's an application I've already got done, right? And I'm in Visual Studio Code. It's some stuff that I want to do. What I can do is I can say, all right, well, this is my spark.on method. So I want to actually auto hotkey this. So I'm going to take and highlight this, and then I use my auto hotkey, which is window H. Oh, it's going to bring up Windows 10 stuff. So did I, I think because of Windows 10, I actually changed that script just a little bit. Let me look here. And so shift window H is what we're going to do. All right, Windows 10, because of the fly out, I had to modify my script a little bit.
But, so you do have the customization to, you know, customize that hotkey as well.
Yeah. So this is just shift window H, and it brings up this dialog that says, here's the text that you have highlighted. So I come back, and this is the replacement string, and I'll just put here dev radio demo and click OK. And now I can delete that text and try it out. So I can say dev radio demo, hit the space bar, and let me try that again. Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah, just got a little bit of a delay.
It put it in there. So one of the things I have to take into consideration is, and this I haven't done it with this particular string replacement, is that in Visual Studio Code, it's doing autocomplete. So I've got a series of extra characters here that I didn't really want to have. Those were already taken care of for me in my by Visual Studio Code. And then I've got to do some stuff with the tabs. I actually had existing spaces in there. And so I'd want to go back and clean that up. But essentially, I've got this now. So even if I come over to, say, go back over here to Notepad and do dev radio demo. So there's my function that I just did. So it doesn't take me a long time to build out these demos. I take an existing application and kind of build these things up.
That's so cool. And then really quickly, the like typing effect, the fact that it doesn't just put it all in at one time, it kind of types it out. Is that something that you control as well, or is that kind of the default? Is that's what it's meant to look like?
That's the default of how the string replacement works in AutoHotKey.
And that's a great looking effect, because it's almost, you know, you get the simulation of kind of being typed out versus just all of a sudden there's all this code. So you could kind of see how it progresses, even though it's pretty quick, but it's a cool effect.
Yeah. So, you know, again, that's a really easy way to build stuff. And I guess, you know, I've got my code, so I'm not going to save that, but I'll go ahead and close that. Don't save. So those are kind of the two Visual Studio type tools that I use. The third one that I use, and this is kind of a big deal for when you're doing staged demos or you've got multiple phases of your demo. So I've got another demo that I do around Azure Mobile Services, and there's three key pieces of the demo that I do. I do one that's actually building out authentication, I build out offline data storage, and I build out notifications. And so I've got this demo that when I come in here, you'll notice that I've got some branches. And so if I say get branch list, get branch. I probably just created a new branch for that. There I go. Okay. So I actually just created a new branch called list.
List, yeah.
but so when I'm getting ready to do this demo, I'll usually say, you know, get checkout, demo start. And I know that this is everything that I need to have to get the demo to phase one of my demo. So I'll write my code and I'll do the demo stuff on stage to get ready for to demonstrate the authentication. If something goes wrong or if I'm short on time, I can always just drop back out here to the get shell, and I could say, you know, get checkout auth. And now I know that I'm in a branch of the code that the authentication is set up and working and ready to go. So I know I've got a working demo at this point. And so as I'm building up my demos, I'm working on, here's kind of a checkpoint of my code. And then if I have something where I want to show kind of phase one, and then I want to kind of fill in a bunch of gaps, maybe build them up. I want to start simple, but then I want to build out a bunch of screens. Rather than having my demo have to build out all those screens, I can go do a checkout and have all those screens ready for me to go.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that I think you kind of learn to do as you're doing demos that kind of progress through different pieces. You have maybe separate projects or separate branches. And that way, you know, you make an error, which can very easily happen. You say, all right, I made an error live, but here's the next step. And you guys can go out and get it yourselves and work with it too.
Yeah. So then, you know, when it comes to productivity, you know, this is my AutoHotKey script that I have running all the time. I hope I don't have any passwords typed in my hotkey script. I don't think that I do. But these are all the things that I can define. And so, you know, I say, hey, I don't want this to be, you know, to show any icons, and I want to make sure this is only running once. But then I can define some things that are machine specific. So I know that my profile is, you know, BR Shirley. So any place where I have, you know, like a C Windows user that's looking for that profile, I've got that particular value. I've got a number of things here that basically allow me to edit my scripts or open my project folders or you know, turn on or turn off certain applications. Volume up and down, I've got those keyed to applications or keys on my special keyboard. So all those things are all defined here. Notice here when we haven't talked about the testing. I'll show you this one. This is a neat little piece that we can do as well. But I have this test naming mode function, and I can kick that off just by hitting Window T, and then you know, it's ready to go inside of Visual Studio. And then so some different things here. Things that for productivity, right? I've got this short list of tasks. I just have a task list tasks file that I have running. So I can kick that off with a special key. So I've got that here as Window 9. So if I just hit Window 9 on my keyboard, it brings up my task list.
Very cool. And I think by default, Windows 9 pulls up the 9th application and the bar at the bottom. So you just overrode that to do what you wanted it to.
Yep. And I'm... You know, you bring that up, and I have the Outlook as my one. Mm-hmm. So if I hit one, you know, Window 1, it brings up my Outlook, and that's why I had to modify my, you know, Window 1
right
here to actually be Window Shift 1, and that Window Shift 1 actually brings up all of my auto hotkey scripts.
Gotcha. Okay.
That are over there. So I've got I can customize those hotkeys to really be anything that I want, and so here's a sample. These guys right here actually define a, if I hit a shift window A on a file, it will actually look at what kind of window is being used. And if depending on what it is, it will bring up a specific script down here, whether I want to open it up in Explorer or whatever. So that what that does is that allows me to, I could have an Explorer window open, and they come over here to say a code folder, and let's say come in here to demos, and my Flappy Connect. Well, here's my solution file. Well, I can hit Shift Window A, and it brings up that file essentially in my Notepad.
Hmm.
And so I've got, you know, kind of a quick way to bring that up. I don't have to bring up a code editor to
right
to that file.
And especially when it opens up in Visual Studio, that could take a second because it's loading a lot of different things. So you just get that text right up.
Right. And, you know, especially if I just want to look at a simple CS file, right? I know that there's some code here that I want to look at. You know, I can bring that up pretty quick.
Okay.
So that's part of, you know, one of my auto hotkey things. There are so many things you can do with auto hotkey. And like I said, we'll post out some of the scripts that I use all the time into GitHub, but if I come back to my AutoHotkey folder, you know, I've got one here called Dropcloth, and so Dropcloth actually runs and it makes everything black except the currently highlighted window.
Huh.
So it kind of gives you that, you know, people want to be in that zone and the focus.
Yeah.
So that black covers all of my screens, not just this one. So
okay,
I know this is only the active window is actually going to be highlighted.
Really keeps your focus on that one piece.
Yeah. So if I bring that, you know, if I bring one up, but again, yeah, so that drop cloth is pretty cool.
Okay.
I've got ones like, so this is an MS 4000, so I've got a Microsoft 4000 keyboard, and there are a lot of special keys on that keyboard, so I use this one to do all kinds of things. I actually specify like an HID on it. And what it allows me to do then is designate specific keys on the keyboard to do things, right? So these are all the special keys
mm-hmm.
that are on the on the keyboard. And so I can define what I want those to actually do on that special keyboard.
Okay, so it sounds like you've just got a ton of like customization, customizability for a lot of different scenarios, whether it's pulling up specific folders or interacting with a text document or kind of a snippet type interaction, but works across all the different editors. But you can customize and do all those things yourself, which is really, really powerful.
Yeah. And then there's a whole community of scripts that are out there as well. I mean, like this, right. This multi-mon man, you know, if I bring that up, actually, this is another one I use pretty heavily in demos. So if I bring that up, I only see one screen here. But if I attach to a second screen, so actually, I want to do an extend, right? So I've got other screens here. Yeah, so there's a whole community of scripts out there that are available for people to use, and I've got a whole bunch of tools. I'll just stick some out in the GitHub repository, and I'll make some notes about what those can be used for.
Perfect. Yeah, because that, you know, having that level of customization means that, you know, either you have to find those scripts, which it's great that there's a community, or you have to be able to do the scripts yourself, like you did, where it fit very specific scenarios for you. But a lot of those ones that people have done are ones that are very common that lots of people would use. So it makes perfect sense.
Right.
And this is, just to kind of relate back, this is all kind of focused on the demo presentation scenario. But any developer, anyone actually, could kind of use any of these tools to fit some of their overall productivity in a given day.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about was, you know, a testing framework that I've actually got some scripts around as well. So, you know, that's where I started with AutoHotkey, and then it just built into being productive with demos.
Yeah, obviously testing is a big important topic. So that fitting in a lot of different scenarios is perfect. So thank you again for being here. Thanks for being my very first guest, episode 5 here, talking about tools and tricks and tips to kind of help out presenters, presentations, and then you can apply that to everyday life and things of that nature.
All right. Sounds good.
Cool.